Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
We're here today from Amherst Island, Ontario, west of the Thousand Islands, joined by Michelle Allais, an island resident who has a long history, a long career, that has included working to improve access to French for Franco-Ontarians, including in the Kingston region. So the Greater Kingston area is a designated bilingual area in Ontario. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means and how it came about?
Yes, the Kingston area was designated about 5 years ago as a bilingual area. It means that under the law of French language services in Ontario, if you have a critical mass of 5% of the population, you could start a process to have your region designated. So that's what happened in Kingston about 5 years ago. There was an advisory committee to the Minister of the Les Affaires de la Francophonie to help the ministries in the area structure themselves to be able to offer services in French to the Francophone of the area. The law requires that any Ontarian who lives in a designated area could be served in their language of choice. So technically, it means that any provincial services provided, I could access them in French in Kingston. So it's a great opportunity. There are lots of Franco-Ontarians in the area. There are also new immigrants coming from French-speaking countries. So it's great that they could have access. And it helps the immigration to have that law, because people coming from African country, French African country, could choose to move in this area because they know they could get service in their language. So it's Franco-Ontarian, it's Francophone from other areas like me, who I was born in Montreal, who live here. It helps attract Francophone to have those services offer in your language.
And when the critical mass is reached, that's not an automatic thing, though. A group, somebody has to push for the government to make that designation?
Yeah, there is a process within the law to follow to have the designation. In the area here, LACFO, which stands for l'Association Canadienne Française de l'Ontario, and it's from the Mille Îles, Thousand Islands, was instrumental in being a leader in that designation. We were part of this advisory committee to the minister. We worked with the 27 ministries to identify the needs and to help them staff positions to be able to offer the services in French.
That's excellent. And you mentioned earlier when we were talking before we started that one of the big things that helps you with is, for example, with healthcare and medical situations, in order to be able to be more comfortable with the terminology that's involved.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, services like education and healthcare are essential services. for young families who have children who have difficulties, learning difficulties. It's essential that they could go to educators that will understand what the issues are and be able to explain in their language. Same thing with healthcare. It's let alone being sick is not easy, but when you have to explain for a diagnose how you feel and what's wrong in another language, it's not always easy. So having some healthcare providers that could speak French is great, really. It's not only great, it's like essential.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the services in Ontario, in this region now, when I arrive in the region, we were not designated, but now Kingston is a designated.
How many people would be on the committee that helped with the designation?
There were a lot of people from each ministry. It was an advisory committee to the ministry that had, if I don't count, and I should, because they were there to listen to, you know, the needs, I would say about 30.
Okay.
They were, yeah.
And were they both Anglophones and Francophones?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But from the general public, and I was at Lac-Faux then, so from the general public, we were about 5, and 5 Francophone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I'll just jump in.
And yeah. I just want to tell you how I was asked to sit on that committee is that when I lived in Ottawa, I was on the board of the Montfort Hospital when the Ontario government wanted to close the hospital. It was the only French hospital in Ottawa. And our record was like way, 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 way better than other hospitals in terms of, mm-hmm. and the government wanted to close us. So I was part of the fight to mm-hmm. keep it open, and it's still open. So
that's good.
And that's okay. How when I arrive in this area, I don't know like how my name came about.
So I was going to say, did you have a reputation?
Yeah.
And okay,
yeah, because
and
sitting
that
on
yeah.
Montfort is it became now a symbol of, you know, language rights and we were right because it's still open.
Yeah. Oh, that's really really excellent. Yeah. So did you find so where did you live before?
Before
Amherst Island, let's say.
Okay, so I lived in Ottawa for close to 30 years, but I came from Montreal. So I came to Ottawa to teach French.
Okay.
So I taught French to members of parliament for a while, and that's why I came to Ottawa. So, like, French language has always been in my career. Mm-hmm. Something that was very important because mm-hmm. that was the way I earned my living.
So when you were in Ottawa, did you when you're around and about and with friends and stuff like that, did you speak French or English?
Ottawa in the mid 70s was not a great place for Francophone. So I did hang out with Francophone and as I said, like about 40 of us arrived from different regions from everywhere to teach in Ottawa. So I did really, my friends were Francophone. But over the years, you know, you develop more relationship, and over the years mm-hmm. it became more bilingual mm-hmm. circles. But for sure at the beginning. And, you know, culturally, there was not much in Ottawa for Francophone in the 70s. So I used to go to Montreal every weekend.
What's culturally Francophone?
Well,
Like, I don't know what that means.
Well, it means, like, if you want to go to a movie, if you want to go see a play.
Oh, okay, movies and
if what you're listening to the radio. So everything was in English. So there was no, you know, leaving plays. Montreal where you were exposed to all sorts of, like, cultural happening, whether it's music or theater or movies, there was nothing in Ottawa.
Yeah, I understand now.
So you either had to, you know, attend or go to English plays or go to or back to Montreal. Mm-hmm. So and that's but. Now Ottawa is fantastic because it's really a bilingual city. Mm-hmm. You could live and play and entertain yourself in French in Ottawa easily. Mm-hmm. And you could, you know, there's good schools. My son was educated in French from daycare to the end of high school. Actually, mm-hmm. he was in the House of Commons then at a bilingual daycare, which was fantastic because they would address the kids in their language.
Yeah.
And the neighbor was another language and they would address in English. So this way, my son was bilingual at five because he got everything that the instructor were telling his friends in English. So at five, he was bilingual and he without any effort to learn, because that's how Ottawa's culture is now.
So moving to Amherst Island, mm-hmm. which is not bilingual, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. how was that?
Well, you know, when you're a minority that speak the language of the majority, it's not a big issue. The issue is more what I was saying in terms of missing the culture part of it, mm-hmm. or missing the, you know, not understanding exactly tradition, not being part of what the majority of people take for granted, that everybody does that, everybody knows that. Listening to English radio or watching TV in English, you know, sometimes it's assumed that I know those people, and I don't really. Growing up in Montreal, I learned a lot of English songs phonetically. I didn't know what they meant.
Right, but yeah, you could pair them back just from the sound. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Very young, because that was on the radio. And so coming back to your question on Amherst Island, I sort of have ways of keeping, you know, when I moved here, I went back to teaching and I taught French at the base. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of to keep it up, really, because of the vacuum on the island, because of the lack of opportunities. So by teaching a few hours here and there, it kept me interested in what was going on in language teaching, and also it kept me speaking French.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the culture goes, that would be still missing.
It is, but really in the last 15 years since I moved here, technology has improved so much that, you know, with YouTube and internet, like, you're not remote anymore from French plays, or, you know, you have access now through. But even when I moved here, like, you know, the internet was so slow and it was through the telephone. So you did not have that facility, that easiness to access. I feel now it's much easier to stay in touch. And, you know, you have the online newspaper, so I read La Presse every day. So I keep in touch with what's going on, even in the in the entertainment, new singers, new play or new books, and you know, you could order, you know, when I moved here, the bookstore, they didn't have French books.
I bet they didn't. So did you advocate to get French books in the bookstore?
Yeah, and Chapters now, Indigo, they have a section like like four shelf of books, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I want a book, I ordered it like tonight, I get it tomorrow by mail. So the internet has really, really helped keeping in touch with the cultural part of it. I make an effort to, in my car, it's always French radio. I watch the news in French. I read one paper a day in French. Obviously, when my son is here, we speak French, although it's sometimes, and Diane participates, but it's sometimes awkward because when Diane's there, we tend to speak English because, and it's often like that when you're in a minority situation, you by respect, you know, you tend to, if you can, speak the language of the majority.
So what about having an Anglophone partner? How's that work?
Well, having an Anglophone partner, you know, it's like, how does that work? It works very well, really, because I speak English and I don't have any barrier in the language. If I did, it would be... And Diane understands a lot. So, for instance, in social situation where there's more Francophone or we have French friends from Quebec coming, Diane insists that we speak French, and she understands. She might be less participative in the conversation, but she does understand. But for us, obviously, we speak English most of the time, except when we're joking, or except when, you know, she would speak to my friend, my son in French, and we laugh at her. But but she's good, and she does understand, and she also understands my need to keep in touch with the French language.
Thank you very much for joining us, Michelle, and sharing the story of your work for bilingual rights, how you keep in touch with your Francophone roots, and help others learn the French language.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And now we're here with Sally Bowen of Topsy Farms, for whom bilingualism has been a lifelong passion that she's incorporated into her daily life on her family sheep farm located here on Amherst Island.
So we're here with Sally. Just go ahead and start, Sal. Why do you speak French?
Because I love it. My dad, when I was a baby little kid, was a traveler with his business. And he would be gone for a month at a time. And he would come back with a present from me each time. And the gift was a word of French. And I still get chills saying that. I can remember as about a three-year-old putting a bench on a chair so I could look at myself in a mirror and promise myself that I would learn to speak French. He wasn't at that time articulate in the language. He'd grown up in a very Anglophone community in Sherbrooke. But he'd grown up with the love of it, the yearning for it. And he conveyed that passion to me. And I've had it lifelong.
Wow. So what's it like living, like, well, you speak English as well, but what's it like living in an Anglophone community?
I just search for opportunities. If somebody's phoning me to do a questionnaire out of the blue, I'll tell them I'll do it if they'll do it in French. I had jobs, I always sought out jobs where I could learn or use French. So I was a waitress in Tadoussac, carrying trays and hanging out with the local people. I did an exchange to Quebec, to Saint-Hyacinthe. I worked for Glendon College of York University, and I spent 3 years doing the liaison with Saint Boniface and up in the northern communities and the eastern communities and all through the Cégeps by myself or with kids from the areas, always wanting more. So then I worked at Expo 67, mm-hmm. and that was a miracle for me. That was just a language revolution.
So why? Why was it a language revolution?
Being able to learn to really key my ear so that I could manage the accents of the old fellow I played golf with in Tadoussac, chewing a stogie the whole time. You know, when you play golf, there's about four expressions. Too bad, try again. I learned to pick up several different accents and to be able to key myself to some degree to the person I was speaking to. Mm-hmm. So I fool people. My accent is really pretty good, although my depth of language ability is so-so. My written French is pretty poor. I mean, my memories lose. I call my sons, my grandsons' names and muddle up people all the time. But somehow, the French seems to be embedded for me. It's something that matters to me so much. It has such a color to it. Mm-hmm. That I will still sometimes, when I've chatted to a customer, or people who come to visit the foster lambs, and they discover I speak French, and then the whole relationship goes from polite to warm.
Oh, it changes totally. I've seen it, like when I was helping, and I couldn't believe the look on their faces when you spoke French to them, and all of a sudden they were here.
Exactly. It's people from Quebec, certainly, who come to Ontario don't expect the French, but mm-hmm. if I can detect even the subtle accent, and I'll ask them in French if mm-hmm. they are francophone, it's just a warm courtesy. It's not necessary to function, but it's coming more towards them. I've been told by a Montreal taxi driver that my accent is sort of Northwoods, New Brunswick. As far as I'm concerned, Canada is a multicultural country, but it is a country of two languages. And I want Topsy Farms to be increasingly known across Canada, not just across English Canada. And so I'm very proud of the fact that we have a very high quality, totally French and Canadian French, des clients, that we worked on for months. I have four Québécoises friends, who we had the language technically correct, but they kept saying, oh no, you could express this a little bit better this way, and no, this is more marketing language. And we spent months revising. And we also have a instructions on how to wash vos produits Topsy Farms. And it's just their gestures, right? But they're gestures of intent. And on every page of the website, and there's a lot of pages, it says, ici on parle français. Demandez à parler à Sally. And I really want that. I really encourage it. It's fun.
Well, and that's, I was going to say, I've seen you when you get a phone call or something that's in French and you skip to the phone, basically. You really, yeah. You know, you really get a spring in your step to get over there and take the phone call, but you get to flex a muscle.
Exactly, Terry. It's as you're asking, Judy, is sometimes this seems, the only problem with Amherst Island for me is that it just seems a little too uniform. Mm-hmm. We're a bit WASP. You know, and the language is the same. And I lived on Brunswick Avenue in downtown Toronto for a while, and the color and the language and the varieties of people just appealed to me hugely. Yeah. So being able to speak French, I mean, I've pulled out my three words of Flemish to Dutch people and my two words of Russian to somebody else. But I have learned all the parts of the lamb, and I've learned a lot of technical language about knitting in French, because I want to. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. It gives me joy.
Right.
And it gives the person to whom I'm communicating pleasure.
Yeah. No, I admire your passion and your desire to...
It's deeply felt. I used to work for, when I worked for Glendon, I would travel with the Francophone students from Northern Ontario. And, you know, I'd learn expressions like, on va les tanker. I'd pardon? They're going to go fill up the tank of the car. On va les tanker. And, but I wouldn't condescend to it. It was just a local, you know, I mean, we slur language all the time. We use colloquialisms and short forms all the time. So it was fun. And I was delighted to go to Hearst and to Cap with a miner's son who was so proud to be the first from his family, from his community, to be able to come. But they, the Franco-Ontarians at that time, that was early 70s, from the north, were laboring under the dilemma of really needing both English and French as a second language. They tended to come from communities with not always a great depth of educational quality, and they could speak both so perfectly on the surface that they didn't have abstractions. They couldn't use the complexity of languages to do philosophy or history or whatever in either language. And that was one of the battles I tried to wage.
And that's a huge jump, I think, from the conversational to the talking philosophically, or what you really feel,
or all describing the organ meat of a lamb.
That's a
huge, specialized language.
It's a huge jump to do that.
And so so I had some lessons from Michelle Lelay. I won them from one of those silent auctions that she did, and she's such a superb teacher. And I told her one of the things that I wanted was more colloquial language, the fun expressions that we use that make our life, our language vivid. I remember going to a B&B in way east on the North Shore in Quebec, and the lady said, she was talking about customers arriving unexpectedly, not having booked ahead of time, and she said, "Oui, ça arrive comme un cheveu dans le soup." It just appears like a hair in your soup.
Oh, great.
Well, that cracked me up. I'll never forget it. It was just such a vivid, fun, funny, silly thing to say.
Right.
But it's very expressive, right? Yeah. So Michelle really had a challenge, but a good time, not just teaching me, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but the ones that we use day to day, and the ones that are day to day now used in Quebec. So those are fun for me. I don't always remember them, but they're fun. Yeah.
Thank you to both Michelle and Sally for joining us today. You can find out more about Sally and Topsy Farms at topsyfarms.com.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Camps and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.